So I'm going to introduce to you now, I can call him a good friend, a fellow Brit, Mr. Ashley Terrades.
Thanks, David. Appreciate you. Give a hand to David, praise God. Very good there. Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Man, you can be seated. Praise God. Well, how have you enjoyed it so far? How many of you think it's worth the price of the ticket so far? What he goes. Okay, a few people are like, no, it's not. It's a free event, praise God, just to check. How have you enjoyed praise and worship? Yeah. Amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah. So Carl and Kerry, good timing, they just come back in. So they lead worship at Legacy Chapel, praise God, in Denver, and they are great worship leaders, praise God. I'm so honored to have them. In fact, Pastor JT, our worship pastor here at Caris Christian Center, actually took him under his wing when he was just a young man. And praise God. So if you like Carl's worship leading, then you can thank JT for taking, amen, praise God, taking a project. That's, isn't God good? All through relationships, praise God. That's how it works. It's all through relationships, praise God. So welcome to Abundant Life 2019. We're so excited, if you can't tell already, that we're excited, praise God. Anyone else excited? Anyone else happy to be here? We may need some help. How many of you are here today? I'm just checking. I don't know if it's I'm speaking fast, it's the English, but anyway, if you can't understand me, just wave. But I told someone the other day, I said, sometimes people don't understand a word I say. They just, one guy was like, I loved your message. I said, really? I said, what was it about? He said, I couldn't understand a word of it. But I enjoyed it. He said, I enjoyed it. Praise the Lord. So we've got a lot of things. I have some notes here I'm meant to be looking at. So this is, if you didn't know, this is Caris Christian Center, and actually Terrades Ministries is housed here in the offices upstairs, praise God. So they're gracious enough to have our ministry based here in this church, praise God. And this is Caris Christian Center, and later on today you're going to hear from Pastor Lawson Badu. This man has been so instrumental in my life. He's my spiritual mentor, praise God, and he has done so much for me. Awesome, spiritually, practically. I would not be doing anything I'm doing without Pastor Lawson in my life. So if you've never heard Pastor Lawson preach before, are we getting any people? Quite a few hands. That's quite a few hands. You can tell your old jokes and they'll laugh. Because praise God, you're going to be really blessed. Praise God. And then also later on today, we're going to have Prophet, my good friend, praise God, Prophet Joseph Z, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're excited about that. And I've told both of them, this isn't a church service. This is just, we ain't got to worry about getting the children's workers out. We ain't got to worry about parking. This is just like our event, so be unleashed. Go for it. We ain't got to worry. Go for it, praise God. So we're going to have a fun day. I mean, I hope you're prepared for a fun day. And then, of course, obviously, my wife, I say my favorite speaker, because obviously she's my wife, my favorite speaker, Miss Carly Terrades, praise God. So she's going to be speaking as well. And we are going to have some fun today, praise God. I'm excited. We're going to have some fun, amen. So I've probably forgotten what else I was meant to say. Oh, products. David gave a giveaway there. That giveaway is actually, that whole bundle, if you enter on your pamphlets, the information and drop it off at our booth, then you'll be entered into a competition. It's not a raffle. I didn't even think about it. It's our team do this. Is that a raffle? Is that gambling? You sure? Just checking. Just operating in favor. Okay. I didn't thought about that. Maybe that's gambling. Maybe like half the people are going to leave now. I don't know. Anyway, if you're watching online, by the way, how many of you know, we've got people literally, I heard, around the world watching right now, tuned in live, praise God, on Facebook. And amen. Just give them a round, praise God. Thanks for joining us, praise God. Amen. And if you're offended by a competition where you put it in and it comes out again, then don't worry. If you win, we won't give you the prize. That's fair. That's fair. And that's my pastor, I really shouldn't say this stuff, but I was a youth pastor at church, and this guy prayed one morning during the open prayer time. He said, Lord, I pray I'm going to win the lottery. And we were like, oh, no, that's ungodly. You shouldn't play the lottery and all this. Even the pastor was like, oh, you shouldn't be praying those prayers. Well, about 2 weeks later, he came in all happy. He went, I won the lottery, pastor. And he joked. He said, oh, what was it, $10, $20? He went, $250,000. The pastor went, oh. Anyway, praise the Lord. I get myself in trouble. Praise God. I say, once you put it in the bucket, it's holy money, praise God. I don't care where it comes from. Anyway, so Okay, let's get started. Should we otherwise get in trouble? Oh, product, yeah. So anyway, we've got a booth out there. Josie Z Ministries also has a booth out there. I want you to visit that and buy everything they've got. Praise God, sell them out. And also Pastor Lawson has his teaching sets out here as well at the Charis Christian Center booth. We also have a Charis Bible College booth, and we'll be talking a little bit about that later on. But Charis Bible College is here as well. How many of you know about Charis Bible College? Praise God. How many of you are either a student or alumni of Charis Bible College? You wave your hands. Praise the Lord. That's awesome. Praise God. Me and Carly are both graduates of Charis Bible College. Which is Andrew Womack Ministries Bible School, and we love Andrew Womack and we love Charis Bible College, praise God. And then the what we have for sale today, this is a special deal we have going on. We have all these three or four or five things in one bundle, praise God. And this is Carly's teaching, Manifesting Miracles. So actually me and Carly teach this together, right? This is a USB, and I don't know how they do it, but on one little USB they get 10 videos and 10 audio lessons. And you can plug, it's a miracle, you can plug it into your car and listen to us. Some people just like to listen to us. And then, or you can put it on your smart TV if you've got a smart TV in the back of the USB, or you can put it in your computer. Lots of different ways to enjoy this. And this is Manifesting Miracles. You have a say in what you see, praise God. And have you know, we've seen miracles in our life. And you know what? Anything you see, any miracle in anyone's life, praise God, God is no respecter of person. He's a respecter of faith, praise God. And you can have that, their miracles in your life, praise God. So who needs a miracle today? Where's my son at? Josh, give that to someone who's waving their hand. It's a hard job giving that away because you're going to miss some people. This is my teaching on how to attack lack. How many of you know it is not God's will for you to have lack in your life in any area, praise God. He has provided for you more than enough, praise God. So this is how to attack lack. This is 20 videos and 20 audio lessons. It's called The Knockout Blow to Limited Finances. And Carly said to me, you're not allowed to tell the boxer story during this event. But there is a boxing glove on here. And if you listen to this, you'll hear about the boxer story, which if you haven't heard it, that means you've never heard me preach before, because I probably say it about every time I preach. But I'm not going to say it today. I'm under oath not to say it today. So who's got lack in life? You got lack in your life? You go for that. You're very welcome. Amen. Praise God. And then this is Carly. This is actually a download card. And this is going to give you all the sessions. Okay, so this down the conference session. So you're going to get all the conference sessions. So you're going to get my session, Carly's session, Joseph's session, and Pastor Lawson's session on this card. So you buy this bundle, you get this card with it. It gives you the instructions, and the whole product will be downloaded to you. Praise God. So that's the card there. I can't give you that because there's no password on this one. It's a blank one. Sorry, Josh. This is a blank one, but that's the card you get. And then two more things real quickly. How many of you seen Carly's confession card? Anyone seen that or used that? Praise God. Isn't that neat? I use this regularly. This is who you are in Christ. You know, we look in the mirror, the natural mirror. You know, hopefully we look in the mirror. Some people use it when they're driving, look in the mirror, see how they're doing. But hopefully we look in the mirror and see how we look in the natural. Well, how many of you know who we really are is a spirit, right? So we should be looking into the spiritual mirror to see who we are in the spirit, the real us. And that's the word of God, praise God. The word of God will tell you who you are. And these scriptures are going to tell you who you are in Christ. And these are great scriptures. You put your name at the top, you say, I am. And then you say, I'm a party waiting to happen. Oh, somebody said, what's a party? I'm a party waiting to happen. Angels rejoice over me. Demons flee from me. God himself dances over me with singing. I am the bearer of good news. I'm a minister of reconciliation. I'm the carrier of the King of glory. I'm the righteousness of Christ. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. I have an unction from the Holy One. I know all things. I have the mind of Christ. I'm anointed by God. I was created by him for good works. I have favor with God, favor with man, and I have a good understanding. I'm chosen by God. I've been sanctified. Praise God, I'm always on God's mind. He thinks about me constantly. Even before creation of the world, he planned me. Praise God. I've only read the first few lines, praise God. This will bless you, amen. Now, we've just recently had them magnetized. So this is a fridge magnet version. How about that? Fridge magnet, brand new. These are brand new. So you can get these in that bundle and you can stick them to your fridge. There's nothing metal around you, I don't think, to stick it to. We could probably find something. Will that stick to that? This will probably mess up the camera, man. No, it's not metal. We need something metal. I'll just try it. No, I'm not going to do it. Pastor, look worried about that. Who wants that? Josh, give that to someone who's got some metal on and stick to the ceiling. Okay. And then this is the very last one. This is how to hear the voice of God. This is, you know, we need to hear God's voice clearly. And in fact, some of what I'm talking about is if we don't hear God's voice, then we can get ourselves in a lot of trouble. I've got myself in a lot of trouble. In fact, the most trouble I got myself is when I haven't listened to God's voice. So we need to hear God's voice, praise God. So do you need to hear God's voice? You go ahead, you can hear God's voice. Bless you, you're welcome, praise God. Okay, hallelujah, I'm going to get rid of this. Someone take this, Josh, grab that. Because otherwise they'll look back on the film and they'll be like, why did you leave that ribbon on the podium? It looked bad, praise God. So, amen. thinking. Praise God. Okay, let me pray. Father God, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, that what I'm about to say, Lord, is coming from your Holy Spirit, Lord. And we open our hearts up to hear your word. We open our hearts up to hear your truths. And I thank you, Lord, for your love for us. I thank you, Lord, how much you, Lord, your reckless love for us. You love us so much, Lord. You are so pleased with us. Lord, you love us so unconditionally. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that we are going to receive from you. And just as Carl said and others have said, Lord, what the word Pastor Lawson gave, Lord, I thank you. We're going to another level. I thank you, Lord, we're hearing from you. I thank you, Lord, we're never going to be the same again. This is going to be a milestone. We're going to draw a line in the sand and say, April the 27th, 2019, things changed. Praise God, things changed. Amen. Everyone said, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. How many of you got your Bibles or smartphones or iPads or iPods or whatever you got? Praise God. Get them out. I had a man one time, he said, for Christmas, I bought my wife an iPad. Oh no, I bought my son an iPad, my daughter an iPod, I bought my other son an iPhone, and I bought my wife an iRon. Think about that, that'll kick in. iRon. Iron. Okay, so anyway. I haven't used that joke before, and I'm never going to use it again. That's the first and last time you'll ever hear that joke. Praise the Lord. So, Turn to Matthew 11:11. Praise God. Matthew 11:11. Matthew 11:11. This is Jesus speaking. Matthew 11:11 says, "Assuredly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Verse 12, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." The violent take it by force, praise God. You know, I had a dream one time, and in this dream, you know, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, okay? So I understand we haven't got time. I've only got a short session. I haven't got time to go through doctrinally about all this, but let me just say, it's the same God in the Old Testament as the New Testament. It's the same God, Old Covenant as New Covenant. Now, our relationship's different with him, okay? Our relationship's completely different. Everything changed at the cross, praise God. Everything changed at the cross. But it's the same God. So the same God in the Old Testament. So I had this dream, and I was like, imagine when we get to heaven. We're going to get to heaven. And in this dream, I was running up to people, and I was going to Abraham. I said, Abraham, what was it like? What was it like to be called friend of God? What was it like to believe God and do these exploits, you know, believe God for a baby at 100 years old? What was it like to just leave and take off and not even know where you're going? What was it like to be called friend of God? Have that intimate relationship with God. And then I'd run over and I'd see King David. I'd say, King David. Hi, my name's Ashley. I'd say, King David, I said, what was it like to be called a man after God's own heart? What was it like to do exploits for the Lord? What was it like to do these great things for God? And I'd be talking about, I'd say, what? And then I'd see Elisha, and I'd say, Elijah, the prophet's about, what was that like? What happened? What was it like? What was it like to do these exploits? And I'd go to all our Bible heroes, pick your hero, and be like, what was it like to do these exploits? Marching around walls, seeing cities come down, taking over territories, against all odds, doing amazing things, praise God, seeing the dead raised, seeing all these things, praise God, the Old Testament. We know all these powerful things they did in the Old Testament. And I was doing all that, and in my dream, do you know what happened? King David and Abraham and Elijah and Elisha and all these people said to me, they said, Ashley, they said, what was it like to have the Holy Spirit indwelling you? They said, you know, we had the Holy Spirit visit us. But we weren't indwelled with the Holy Spirit. We didn't have the Holy, we weren't one. What was it like? And they said, what was it like to be one spirit of the Lord? What was it like to be in union with God, one spirit of the Lord? They said to me, what was it like on earth to have a full Bible, to have the full scriptures, the word of God from beginning to end, to know everything mapped out in one book that you had access to? What was it like to see all that history right there, see everything, what God has done, what he's doing and what he's going to do, all in one place at one time? What was it like to have the scriptures? He said to me, what was it like? What was it like to have a prayer language, to be able to pray in the Holy Ghost, to be able to have an intimate relationship with God? What was it like to have Christ in you, the hope of glory? What was it like to know Jesus? What was it like to know Jesus, to know that God would come down in the flesh and die for you? What was that like? It was so humbling. I'll tell you what, it was like, it shook me in a good way. I said, it was awesome. You could see them like, they were like anxious. We're talking about King David, Abraham, Noah, anxious to hear what I had to say about how I lived on earth in the New Testament, the New Covenant. And they said to me, what did you do with it? They said, you know, we had a little bit of the, you know, now and again the Holy Spirit would visit us. And we had a little bit of the scriptures and we had understood some things. And we understood in this shadow way that God was going to make some sort of sacrifice for us, but we couldn't really comprehend it. We didn't have that spiritual understanding, but, you know, we just had that little bit we had and we went for it, praise God, and we did all the exploits and all that. But what did you do? I mean, what did you do with all that? And it wasn't in a condemning way, but it just shook me up like, ooh. We have got so much. How many of you are born again today? How many of you got Jesus, your Lord and Savior? Amen? Amen? If you are in here today and you have not got Jesus, your Lord and Savior, you can say it right now. Say, Jesus, I make you my Lord, and you are saved. That's all you've got to do. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord. But if you're born again today, I want you to know that you have infinitely more than any of our old covenant heroes, Old Testament heroes. This is exactly what Matthew 11:11 is saying. He says, assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, so excluding Jesus, among those born of women, there is not risen one greater than John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the greatest person outside of Jesus because he was born with the Holy Spirit. And John the Baptist was the greatest prophet. But look at this. Jesus says, but he is least in the kingdom of heaven. So he is least in the new covenant. So the least, we're talking about someone who just gets born again by the skin of his teeth. You know, one of those people that just get through. You know, it's just like, Lord, mate, help Jesus. And then they die. You know, like the guy on the cross next to Jesus, okay? I heard one guy say, did you know that the Apostle Paul's dad, okay, this is such a bad joke. It's such a passionate one. It's too late. Did you know the Apostle Paul's dad was one of the people on the cross with Jesus, next to the thief on the cross next to Jesus? And everyone's like, oh, really? How'd they find that out? He said, Jesus, my old man died with Christ. But anyway, so even the thief on the cross, I told you it was bad. Even the thief on the cross, okay? Even the thief on the cross, what did he do for God? I mean, he just got in, right? He made Jesus Lord right there and then. He got in. Now, look at this. If you are the least in the kingdom of God, you are greater than any Old Testament character that's ever lived on this planet. You go through your Bible, go through your Old Testament, read your Old Testament, see what they did. See the crazy things they did in the Old Testament. We're talking outright crazy, some of it. Illogical, off the chain. We read that. Now, that's all true. Remember that, right? Sometimes we read it like, well, that happened. But no, that is all true. And they all did that by one way. They did that by believing God. There was no other way they could have done those things. They did those things by believing God. But we have infinitely more than those people had. We had infinitely more than those people. Now, we respect them. We respect the patriarchs. They paved the way for us, praise God, and they're a cloud of witnesses and everything. But I'm telling you, you right now, sitting in your seat, say, Ashley, I don't feel like it. Doesn't matter. Ashley, you don't understand my situation. Doesn't matter. Have you read your Old Testament? Have you seen some of the people God uses? We're talking murderers, deceivers, I mean, double crossers. We're talking widows. We're talking prostitutes. We're talking whatever you want, with cowards. Whatever you want to name, it's in there. God did that to show you, you know what? If I can use them, I can use you. If they can do exploits with that little bit they had, you can do exploits. And I'm here to tell you, our ministry is about empowering believers in the promises of God. And here's what I do not want to happen today. I do not want to happen today, and that's why we had this lineup of speakers. We don't want you to sit there eating your popcorn and saying, these guys are awesome. Wasn't that a great word? No, we want you to go out empowered. We want you to go out, praise God, ready to change the world. We want some world changers in the house, praise God. Have we got any world changers in the house? People are going to change the world. You know, in Acts it says, you know, these few have turned the world upside down, praise God. I'm here to tell you, God is looking for people. His eyes are going to and fro and looking for people who will believe me to the point where they can turn their world right side up. Whatever your world is, whatever your influence is, whether it's your workplace, your family, your ministry, your church, your business, whatever it is, whatever your world is, God wants you to turn your world right side up today. God has ordained you. He's commissioned you. Well, actually, you don't understand. I've got this sickness. Go for it. Oh, you don't understand. I've got this situation. I've got no money. Go for it. You don't understand. I've been married 3 times. This has happened. That's happened. These people are against me. Go for it. Any situation you have, we could go toe-to-toe with Old Testament characters and show you that really what you're going through isn't that bad. And even if it is, God will still use you, praise God, and do exploits through you. So that's verse 11. Verse 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Now, this verse gets people a bit confused sometimes. It's a dangerous verse to talk about. In fact, this whole conference has got this little dangerous theme about it. I never really planned this. God gave me this message in the middle of the night one night, and I didn't know what Carly was teaching. She didn't know what I was teaching, but it sounds like what we're teaching is going to complement each other. And then our marketing director come up with this this deal about being dangerous. This is like a dangerous event, and I think pretty much this is going to be an on-the-edge dangerous event, praise God. You're not going to forget this one today. People get confused about this because it talks about the violent taking it by force. This is not talking about being arrogant. This is not talking about being, demonstrative. This is not talking about you believe or else, or you be like us or else, or any of that. Some people have taken this verse and they've been like, the violent, we're violent about our faith. And what they mean is they're rude, they're arrogant, they're in pride, and they just go about saying, we're the only people you can be around, and just violent. We're not talking about that. In fact, some people, when we first heard the grace message, and I don't call it the grace message because really it's the gospel. There's only one gospel, right? But when we heard the real gospel for the first time, even though we'd been saved 12 years, when we heard the full gospel, praise God, we were ungracious with grace. And we went around people saying, did you know sin's not a problem anymore for God? And did you know you're sick? That's your own fault. We were not gracious with grace. In fact, I've got a good friend, Pastor Clint Zeller in Houston, and he says, are you a gracist? He has a series on that. Are you a gracist? Meaning, have you got to the point where you're so into grace that if anything hints and sniffs, and you start judging people because, maybe that doesn't quite line up exactly as what you believe. Let's get over that. We have not got time to mess around with that. I'm telling you what, we are on a mandate from God, praise God, to believe God violently. And I'm going to show you what that means. Believe God violently and do exploits for the Lord. I'm telling you what, I turned 40 years old. I know it looks impossible, but I turned 40 years old. I turned 40 years old last year. And let me tell you, when I hit 40, I was like, man, I may only have another 80 years left. I may only have 80 years left. I need to get busy. I need to get with it, praise God. I need to get with it. So the violent take it by force. The violent take it by force, amen? The violent take it by force. That word violent, if you study it out, it's talking about to be seized. It's talking about to press in, to push into, to go after. And you say, well, actually, it's a finished work. It's a finished work. Yeah, it's a finished work. That's why it's all the more reason for us to strive, praise God. We labor into his rest. It's all the more reason for us to believe him like we've never believed him before. The fact that he's already done it for us, the fact that God's already provided everything we need, he's provided your healing, he's provided your provision, he's provided your peace of mind, he's provided your salvation, he's provided your right standing with God, your righteousness. He's provided everything, and because of that, praise God, because of that fact, when you realize that, when you had that foundation of realize, it is a done work, it's finished. It's a finished work. I'm not impressing anyone, I'm not impressing God, I'm not impressing myself. This is a finished work. That should stir you to the point of saying, man, I'm going after this thing. I am going after this thing. I'm telling you what, if you had something so precious, you'd want to share it with people. If you had that foundation, you'd want to share it. We should want to share it. And I think sometimes passivity is the enemy to what God's trying to do. Now, let me say again, people watching online, God loves us 100% unconditionally. He's pleased with us unconditionally. He loves us, okay? So that's a done deal. But if we don't get passionate, if we don't start taking the promises of God, if we don't start believing God, we are not going to fulfill, the plans that God has for us. And I'm telling you what, when my friend Andrew Womack says, when you get to heaven, he's going to wipe the tears away from your face. This is a little bit, he calls it andiology, but I believe that. He says, when you realize the potential inside of you, the absolute potential that I just talked about inside of you, all these things we have, the equipment we have inside of us, and we haven't gone for it with God, we haven't taken more risks, we haven't gone for it by faith, praise God. There's only one way to live, and that's by faith. Amen. There's only one way. We live by faith and not by sight. And any time we're not living by faith, we're not fulfilling. I'm telling you, we're not getting everything God has for us. And God has so much for us because he loves us so much. He has so much for us. I have three children, and when they do things, when I do something and it works out, I'll just be honest, little ego, it's nice, it worked out. If I fix something or do something, have some success, it's like, that's pretty cool. Okay? I thank God and all that, but I'm like, that's pretty good. Eli's like, never do that. Okay? It's like, you feel good. If you have a success, you feel good, right? But let me tell you what's greater than when you have success. When you watch your kids succeed. Anyone felt that? When you watch your kids succeed, and it's more. One time I was in a conference, a big conference, thousands of people, and we were just serving at that conference, and they had this computer issue. They couldn't fix it. They had all these techs around there and trying to fix it. And my oldest son, I think he was 11 years old or 12 years old, he kept looking over there, and I said, son, do you know how to fix that? He said, I think so, Dad. So it's like, go on there, like that. He went on there like 2 minutes later, turns back around, and they all just look around like awestruck. Okay? Now if I'd fixed it, I would have been like, it's all cool. But my son fixed it, I was like, my other son plays soccer, right? Or football, that's a real sport, football. And he says, and you know, I still play football. Well, that's a stretch. I go on the field and run around a little bit. And then after about 2 minutes, I go, sub! And I get subbed off. I have been known to sub off during the warm-up. True story. I got a cramp. Sub. Anyway, I tell them here in America, I say, when I was younger, I was a legend. Well, they don't realize. I was a legend in my own mind. Well, you know, now and again, if the planets collide and things just line up perfectly, I score a goal, right? Okay, for the deal. And I try and play it cool, you know, even if it's the one time I scored the winning goal and my friend Adam Stone took his shirt off and went crazy. But, we're men. We can't just go. So I'm like, I'm cool. It's cool, you know, just people high five and all that. You don't. But on the inside, I got a little buzz. Let me tell you, when my son scores and it's the winning goal, I tell you what, I'm on the sidelines, I'm in the stands, and I remember the first time he played for a new team, he played for this new team, and all the parents are there, and they're like, what's this new kid going to be like? And he wasn't even playing striker, he was playing defensive midfield, and he ran through with the ball, and took it round one like this, and man, I got excited, jumped up out of my seat like this, and I'm watching like this, he shoots that in the top corner like that, I tell you what, popcorn's gone flying, the whole bucket, drinks are gone flying, I'm going absolutely crazy, I'm becoming very undignified on the stands. Amen. I'm here to tell you today, guys, when you go for it with God, God gets undignified about you. I'm telling you, he gets so excited, he can't help it, praise God. And what he does, he just showers blessings on you. He will shower blessings on you. He can't help himself, but to shower blessings on you. He loves you so much. Zephaniah 3:17 says, he dances over you with singing. God dances over you. He gets delight over you. I'm telling you, he gets delight over you. And when you go for it, he's like, who's going to believe me? Who believes I'm actually going to do? Who believes how good I am? Who believes I love them? And when you start believing God like that, I tell you what, he just gets excited. And if that hurts your doctrine, I'm sorry, but you know what? That's the truth. He gets excited when his children go for it, praise God. And you know what? He loves it when his children go for it. He just gets pleasure, praise God. He gets pleasure. Psalm 20, I wasn't even going to go here, but Psalm 35, 27, he gets pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. And we use that on provision and finances. We can use it on that. But that counts for everything, guys. When you prosper in God's promises, when you start prospering, when you believe the word of God, believe who he said you are, when you will be dangerous enough to believe that the word of God is true about you, are you going to get dangerous enough to believe the word of God is true? Yes. Are you going to get to the point and say, you know what, I think what God says about me is true, and I'm not just going to think it, I'm going to start acting like it. I'm going to start doing things by faith. Let's look real quick at what some of the things they did by faith, praise God, in Hebrews 11. We ain't got time to go through it all, but Hebrews 11, praise God, just a few highlights of Hebrews 11 of what they did by faith. These people, they didn't even have what we had. They did so much by faith, praise God. And I love how Paul Tupper summarizes it at the end. He just gives a list, like he's a little bit, just like flipping at the end there. Oh, there's all these other things as well, by the way. These are serious exploits, Hebrews 11, and I don't even know where to break in here. There's so much. Just read the whole of Hebrews 11 when you get home and say, God, I thank you that I all these exploits, I'm even more equipped than the people that did these exploits. I thank you, Jesus. I've got more than these people have, and I can do more than these people have, praise God. And we could go on this. By faith, the walls of Jericho, verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they encircled for 7 days. Does that make sense to you? See, here's the thing, guys. Living by faith is often going to take you to a place that doesn't make logical sense. And sometimes it's even irrational. Now, here's the dangerous side of this message. People abuse this and go crazy and just do whatever they want to do and just do things and call it faith. And sometimes it's fear or desperation or easy laziness. Do you know we can use faith as an excuse to be lazy? We can use faith as, I've used it. I'm like, I don't have to work now. I could just rest in faith, praise God. I'm going to give a little bit, not too much. And God is going to give back to me. Press down, good measure. Running over. Man's going to give into my bosom. And I didn't work for like 6 months. True story. I was like, God, and Carly was getting a bit worried. The finances went down. Then we got in the overdraft, you know, and she was like, what's going on? I said, don't worry. I'm in faith. I convinced myself I was in faith. I had the scriptures. I was like, I'm in faith. I wasn't in faith. I was being lazy. I didn't want to go out and do something. I'll be honest. I was like, I'm done with all that messing around. I used to buy and sell things. I'm done with that messing around. Now I'm going to Bible school. I'm like, this is 2006. I don't need to mess around buying and selling stuff. I'm in Bible school. And then eventually the money ran out. I was like, what's going wrong, Lord? He's like, I gave you the power to get wealth. Do you remember that? Deuteronomy 8:18. I was like, yes, Lord. He's like, I bless the works of your hands. Remember that? I was like, yes, Lord. He's like, go put your hand to something. I was like, yes, sir. Went out and sold a car. Got a profit. Bought another two cars, sold them, got more profit. Bought something else. Before long, we're prospering. That year, we gave away more money than we've ever given away, even when I worked full-time. Amen? Put your hand to something. So don't use faith as an excuse not to actually do something and go out and do something and go out and put your hand to something, praise God. And don't use faith out in fear, you know? If you're in fear, that's not faith. And some people come at it with they say they're in faith, but really it's fear. What's happening is they're like, I'm so desperate. I'm desperate. And I understand, listen, I watched my daughter in front of me perishing, okay? I watched my daughter, I know what it means to battle fear. But I'm here to tell you, you need to battle that. When fear comes knocking at your door, you go and answer it in Jesus' name. You'll find there's no one there. When fear comes knocking at your door, you go and answer it in Jesus' name. You'll find there's no one there, praise God. I'm telling you, you need to battle fear. You can't just be passive and let fear come in, or let laziness come in, or let all these emotions and these thoughts come in. We need to be violent about this. We need to have a resolve and say, no, this is who I am in Christ. Jesus did too much for me to just sit here. Jesus did too much for me to just be passive. And we can be passive, and we can sit there and take it all in, it's fine. But I'm telling you what, God's got more for you than that. God has got more for you. And I'm telling you, deep down, there's a burning in you to do more than you're doing anyway. Yes. Deep down, we have a burning to do more than we're doing anyway. And you haven't really lived until you've found something you're willing to die for. Until you find something, you say, I'm all in. What's the worst that's going to happen, guys? You're going to die? I mean, let's get real here. We've got eternity with Jesus. Okay? It's not such a bad deal. So the worst case is you're going to die. You're not going to die. You're not going to starve. But the worst case is that's what could happen. Wasn't it worth it to live for Jesus? Why would you not want to go it for God? Go for it with God, praise God. He's got so much for you. Sometimes I feel like God's there going, come on, someone, just believe me a little bit. Come on, believe me a little bit, because I'm telling you what, there's a big world out there, and he's got a lot of love to show this world. He's got a lot of restoration to bring. He's got a lot of breakthroughs of people. You've got people's breakthroughs in your pocket. You've got people's miracles inside of you. So even if you don't want to do it for yourself, people say, actually, that sounds a bit selfish. You're teaching that we have to be violent about our faith and press in and go for it and get serious about this because, you know, we want it for ourselves. Well, yeah, that's good enough. But if that was all it was, but that's not all it is. It's far bigger than that. It's far bigger than that. If you're wrapped in, what does Andrew say? If you're wrapped up in yourself, you make a very small package. So it's not about us. But how do you know? When you get it yourself, when you put your own oxygen mask on, you know, when you're flying, you get your own oxygen mask on, you can help other people. And when you realize the truth about you and who you are, praise God, it's going to change your world. It's going to change your world. When you go for it with God, it's going to change your world, and you won't be able to help it. You'll just be in such a mad relationship with God. You'll be in such a mad love with God because you've received his love. You'll be the Peter that one minute denied Christ, and I'm not sure about this. To the next minute, and you realize how much Christ accepts you and how much Christ loves you, you'll be out there preaching to thousands and telling the religious leaders who just killed Jesus, you know, telling them it was your fault. That's how bold he was. That's how bold Peter got. He had that boldness, praise God. He had that boldness. So let's go for it. Paul gives us some great examples here of what it means to actually walk this out, because I know I'm saying a lot of things, but what does this mean day to day? Like, how do we walk this out? How do we do this? And he gives us some examples here, and I think they're great examples of how we can walk out our relationship with God. And here's... this is in 2 Timothy 2. I'm going to start at verse 1. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1 says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, right there, if you can be strong in grace, you can also be weak in grace, right? You can be weak. Again, God loves you. You're accepted 100%. It's all good. You're going to heaven. Everything's good. But you can also be strong in the faith God's given you, praise God. You can start exercising those faith muscles, and you can start getting strong and start seeing exploits, praise God. You can start killing a lion, and then you can start going after a bear, and then you're going to be going after Goliath. Probably don't go straight for Goliath. Have a little bit of practice with a lion and a bear before you go with Goliath. This is the other side of the dangerous side of this. People hear this. I'm going to do exploits. Ashley told me I can do exploits. I'm going to do exploits. What are you doing? I'm believing for this $20 million complex and blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay. Have you believed God for 20,000 yet? Have you, what about starting somewhere? Okay. So how about we start somewhere? fight your lion, fight your bear, and God are using Goliaths. And there's even, you know, so that's a side note. But anyway, so are you having fun? I'm having fun. This is good. So he says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In verse 2, he says, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Let me just stop right there, okay? This really hit me. Now, Timothy was mentored by Paul, right? So Paul mentored Timothy. So Timothy was Paul's spiritual son. Can we all agree on that? Let's agree on some things. I know a lot of you aren't agreeing with me, so let's agree on something. Okay, Timothy was Paul's spiritual son, okay? But listen to this. This is very interesting. He says here, and the things that you've heard from me, so Paul's saying, Timothy, what you've heard from me among many witnesses. Now, I don't know about you, I've always thought, well, Paul and Timothy were tight, like they had this, they just hung out all the time and just had coffee and went to Starbucks and just hung out all the time, Paul and Timothy, all the time. Now, maybe that did happen. I'm using a little bit of liberty here. Maybe that did happen. But Paul's telling Timothy to share the things that he heard from him among many witnesses. What does that tell me? That tells me, in today, that would be like Timothy sitting in Paul's conference and hearing Paul preach. And yet, Timothy was mentored by Paul. See, Pastor Lawson was mentored, if you like, by Lester Sumrall. Did you spend that much one-on-one time with Lester Sumrall? No, he's shaking his head in case you can't see. My spiritual father is like Andrew Womack. I haven't spent that much. People think, well, actually, you must hang out around Andrew all the time. No, sometimes I do get to spend time with him. It's a real blessing, praise God. But and the things I've learned, 99% of the things I've learned from Andrew is sitting right in the chair in front of him, listening to him preach. And sometimes we want mentoring, like we need this one-on-one special attention. I just need a one-on-one special attention. Mentoring starts with hearing the word of God, praise God, from a good teacher. So find some good teachers that really that bless you and sit under their teaching. And I have people come to me and they say, Ashley, will you mentor me? And I say, yeah, I'd love to. Here's my book. Read my book. Get back to me. Here's a five set. And I'm not all that, you know, I'm saying, but you could be anyone. Here's my five CD set of USB. Listen to that and get back to me. Tell me what you think of it. It doesn't happen very often. See, what we need to realize is we can get the word of God. We can be mentored. We can get the word of God by sitting under someone and serving them, praise God. We don't have to be their buddy. And if you do get the chance to be one-on-one with someone who's spiritually more mature than you, please close your mouth. Please, please, please. Listen. Just listen. If you get someone who's more spiritually mature than you, just listen and take it all in, praise God. The only time you open your mouth is to ask them another question about how they got to where they got. The only reason you open your mouth is to ask them, what about this? How did you deal with this? And how did you deal with that? And you take notes if you have to. But listen, listen, listen. Because you know what? I don't care how old they are, how young they are, how good looking they are, whatever it is, okay? They're further up the road from you and they can teach you something. And sometimes we let pride get in. I think this is a trick of the enemy. He puts us in pride, and if someone's got one thing out of line or one thing not quite right, we can't receive from them. That's a sad day. That's a sad day. If someone's further up the road from you, man, receive from them. Hear what they've got to say, praise God. You're going to be so blessed to hear from them. That's how Timothy right here was mentored by Paul. He heard these things. Now, he may have had other times with him, don't get me wrong. But I'm saying the things he said teach to other people among many witnesses. Timothy, when you was in my conferences and I was preaching those messages, them things go and teach other people. I didn't mean to say all that. Verse 3. We're still in 2 Timothy 2, verse 3. You therefore must endure, which means share, hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Okay, now hardships here aren't sickness or poverty or disease or any of those things. Okay, hardships here are persecution and things that comes about from taking your own thoughts captive and battling your own will and things like that. They're hardships. And we're sharing those things. And it says here, verse 4, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself in the affairs of life. Okay? You could flip that around and say, if we're all about natural things, if all our occupations, all our focus is on the natural things, now you have to take care of natural things, but if our focus and our attention, our even our affections on natural things, then we're probably not engaged in warfare for God. Is that a bit, that was a bit harsh, wasn't it, Pastor? That was a little bit. I need to soften that up a little bit. Okay. You might be, but you're probably not. So if you're totally like enamored by the natural, and if your identity or pleasure or time or finances, everything is about the natural things of this world, things you can see, you're probably not entangled. You're probably entangled and you're probably not engaged in warfare for God. I'm just, when Paul said, have I become your enemy because I tell the truth? I'm trying to help us today. I'm trying to help us today. Basically, what I'm saying is that we need to look beyond our natural circumstances, still take care of those things, but our focus should always be on the Lord. Our focus should be on the exploits of God. Our focus should be on where God wants to take us. Our focus should be on those things. We walk by faith and not by sight, right? So that he may please him who listed him as a soldier. So God's going to be pleased when we do these things, praise God. It brings God pleasure when we go for it for God, when we go for these things, when we do these exploits for God, praise God. He gets pleasure. And Paul uses three examples here, which I think really fit in well. These three examples, natural things. He uses natural examples to show us what this can look like. And he gives us some application. And I love this. He gives us three different things here. A soldier, a farmer, and an athlete. Okay, a soldier, a farmer, and an athlete. Carly's like, why do you use an iPad? You always get lost when you use your iPad. I do get lost. Sometimes it crashes. Sometimes I get lost. And Pastor Lawson was like, you need a Bible. I said, I've got a Bible, Lawson. I've got 100 scriptures on here. He's like, but you need a real Bible, praise God. I should have bought my real Bible. I'm good. I'll find it. It should be here. Pastor, where's the farmer, soldier, and verse 6. Thank you, JT. Come on. JT, I thought you just led worship. You know the Bible? You know the Bible? You got... Who knew? The worship leader can preach, praise God. Thank you, JT. You beat the pastor, I love that. Thank you, I love Pastor JT. Let me tell you, JT came to this church, it's taking this church another level. Praise God, amen. Amen, it's powerful. I love his worship, praise God. It's worth coming here just to hear the worship, praise God. And you're gonna be blessed. So, where was I? 2 Timothy. This is gonna be fun, thank you. Verse 6. Thank you, I got it. Thank you, Pastor, I got it. Here we go. Man. They meant to be videoing this, you know, make a product. They can edit this out. It'll be good. It'll be good. So you, therefore, must endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one entangled in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Verse 5. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer must be the first to partake of the crops. And consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding. Remember, Jesus Christ of seed of David was raised from the dead according to the gospel. There's somewhere else that talks about farmer, and I can't find it. But anyway, it's in here. If anyone can find the verse that talks about, specifically Paul talks about a farmer, an athlete, and a soldier. But anyway, we'll go through. Oh, 2 Corinthians 9. No, it's not. Okay. Anyway, he talks about a farmer. Someone find it for me. He talks about a soldier, a farmer. Someone with an iPad can search this, and an athlete. And these three things are great natural examples. They're great natural examples of how to live these things out, how to walk by faith and how to live these things out. See, a soldier, here's the deal about a soldier. A soldier isn't about himself. His own individual rights don't matter as a soldier. And let me tell you, when you came into a relationship with Jesus, here's the great paradox. Jesus is all about you. He loves you. He's always thinking about you. He thinks you're the apple of his eye. This is the paradox of the gospel, guys. You're the apple of his eye. He loves you. You hear people say things like this. If you're the only person on earth, Jesus still would have died for you. And that's true. You are so special. When you walk in the room, he lights up. You are like the apple of his eye. Just you, you alone. Not what you can do, just you alone are the apple of his eye. He loves you. Okay? But here's the paradox of the gospel. When you enlisted, praise God, you also lost your own rights, and now you're like, yes, sir. My friend says, you know, saying no, Lord, is an oxymoron. So when God tells us to move, we move. When God says, go and do this, we do this. So a soldier hasn't got his own rights anymore. A soldier doesn't want, well, I'm not sure about that. Let me work it out. I've got this command. They said, go over here. But I don't think that makes sense. A soldier doesn't question his commandments. A soldier doesn't question when someone tells him to do something. He just says yes, sir, and goes. And they move as a unit, and they move together, and they don't worry about their feelings. They don't worry about if it makes sense. They don't worry about if it's going to cost them something. They don't worry about if it's going to cost them their life. In fact, if you have served or have served here, or a spouse who serves, thank you. In the natural, I'm talking about thank you. That is a great sacrifice to make. Praise God. And we couldn't be individuals and have our individual freedom if some of us wouldn't go and do that, where we lose our own rights and become a part of a machine, if you like, and do something as in unity. So a soldier, when you become a believer, if you want to get serious, if you want to get violent about your faith, if you want to start receiving the promises of God, then you have to become like a soldier. That means, I don't feel like it today. Go and do it anyway. I'm not sure this is, God told me to do this, but it doesn't make logical sense. Do it anyway. But I don't agree with everyone around me. You've got to walk with them anyway. Do it anyway. You don't have to see eye to eye to walk hand in hand. Soldiers get into there's a big group of them, right? I don't even know the terminology. You could tell I wasn't in the army. The closest I got was Boy Scouts. But even at Boy Scouts, right, if we went on a long hike in Boy Scouts and I was tired, I still had to keep walking. I couldn't just say, I'm tired, can we all stop? No, they just all keep walking. Okay, that's what it means to be a soldier for Christ, praise God. That's what it means to get serious about, you know what, we're in a warfare, praise God. Now, the great news is it's done and we win. But we're in a battle, praise God. And when you realize there's a soldier, you start working like a soldier, you start acting like a soldier, you start saying, okay, yes, Jesus, what do you want me to do? I'll do it. I'll do it. You know, a great time to come together as soldiers is church. You come together in a church, praise God, and it's like unity. It's like we're going to do this thing. You can do a lot more together, praise God. It's unity. So we need that soldier attitude. A soldier doesn't question authority. A soldier is not entangled in the things of life. A soldier endures hardships without complaining. A soldier can do these things, praise God, because he's not self-focused. He's focused on the bigger picture. He's focused on the bigger goal, and he's focused on being a part of a unit, praise God. The second example Paul gives is a farmer. Now, I love this because a farmer's hardworking, right? But then a farmer just rests and relaxes. You know, we ain't got time to go there, but in Mark 4, I believe it's 26, it talks about how the farmer sows scatter seed. He sleeps by night and wakes by day. He himself does not know how the seed grows, right? He doesn't know how it works. He trusts in the system. He trusts in the system, praise God. And a farmer takes faith because he does his hard work. He sows seed, and then by faith, he sits back and watches it grow, praise God. So a farmer, okay, is a great illustration of how to walk by faith. You sow seed, you do the plowing, you believe God, praise God, and then you just watch it grow. You don't have to actually do it to watch it grow. And the last one's an athlete. Now, an athlete is about him individually striving, praise God, because he's got this great prize in mind. He's got this, I'm going to get this. You know, a natural athlete will be, they'll do all this stuff, they'll work out, they'll go through a tremendous sacrifice to get that 10 seconds or 20 seconds or however long their sport, you know, their whatever it is. They'll do that, they'll make that sacrifice so they can get their prize, they can get the crown. Paul says they do these things just to get a crown. Now, imagine this. Imagine an athlete saying, I've got a race coming up. You know, I've got a race coming up in a month's time, and I'm just going to go down here, get myself a couple of burgers, and just hang out. Now, eat whatever you want. Just get up whenever you want. Do you know, if you look at professional athletes, their schedules are crazy. We're talking about they work out like 5 and 6 times a day with all these different routines and get up at the crack of dawn and ice baths and all this crazy stuff. I mean, they are, if you watch an athlete on television, you are seeing not even the 1% of what they do. Because all the rest of it is behind the scenes. All the rest of it is below ground. All the rest of it is a preparation. All the rest of it is to spend time. When you see anyone doing an exploit for God, including Old Testament, New Testament, you're only seeing that little tiny 1% of what the 99% beforehand was them submitting to God, was them letting God love on them, was them spending time with the Lord, was them reading the word and letting that scripture get in their heart, was them sowing, praise God, and was them serving, and was them when no one noticed, it was them taking their thoughts captive, it was them forgiving people when they wronged them, it was for them not getting it, deciding, choosing, we've always got a choice, choosing not to be offended, choosing not to hold something against someone, choosing not to let little things get in their way, choosing not to let the you know, things that don't mean anything. It's amazing how people get offended or get mad about this little thing or complain about something so little. And I'm like, I've done this myself, so that's why. I know firsthand, praise God. Everything I'm teaching, I've done firsthand. It's like, you're letting that little thing stop all this stuff God's got for you, praise God. And that's like an athlete. If you let these thoughts in, if you let these feelings just go and just, I can't help it. That's like an athlete going out and binge eating and just going out and just doing whatever they want. And then they get to the race and they fail. You know, they're not very good. I say, I thought I was a professional athlete. Yeah, you're a professional athlete. But you know what? You didn't act like it. You just did whatever you wanted to do, praise God. And I'm telling you, God loves us so much. He's got so many exploits for us to do. He's got places to take you. I'm telling you, some of you have had dreams, you've had visions, you've had words spoken over you. And I'm here to tell you, yes, it's true, praise God, it's true. And what happens is when you put a demand on that truth, you'll start taking the promises of God, praise God. And you'll start taking it by force. You'll start pressing into the kingdom and say, it's mine. And you'll get violent. Now, you're not violent with people. You're violent with the enemy. You're violent with your thought life. You're violent in places like that and say, no, I'm not having this. Everything inside of me feels like, I'm so hurt right now, but I'm going to choose not to be. I'm in fear. I feel like I'm scared. I'm scared about Luke running out of money. I'm scared about this happening. I'm scared about that happening. You know what? Jesus said, do not fear. You can do this. You can say, God, I'm choosing not to fear today. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. I'm telling you what, when you get to this attitude of like, you know what, we've only got one life, let's live it. You know what, if you're not living on the edge, you're taking up too much space. I want to be out there I want to be out on the limb where the big fruit grows, praise God. And if you want to see exploits in your life, if you want to see things, now the exploit is going to look different for everyone. For some of you, it's going to be to get out of debt. For the first time, you could be the first person in your family to ever be out of debt, out of consumer debt. You may be the first person ever to give big. The first person ever to see the manifest, you know, healing of God, supernatural healing of God. God's got these things for you. And I'm saying they're ours. They're ours for the taking. But we've got to take them, praise God. They don't just fall on us. We've got to take them, praise God. And God gets pleasure when we take these things, praise God. And we realize, you know, this is God. God's got so much for me. I'm going to take it, and the violent take it by force, praise God. And I'm telling you, God's eyes are going to and fro, and he's looking for people saying, that's me. I'll do that. I'll do that. I don't have it all together. If people really knew what was going on, I mean, I'm top of a mess. That's exactly who God's looking for. Because you know what that tells me? That tells me you're humble. And he exalts the humble, praise God. He'll take someone humble. God takes pleasure in taking the seemingly small and exalting them, praise God. And we have that attitude of like, Lord, I haven't got it all together. I don't even understand everything. He's like, but I'm here. He's like, yes, you'll believe me. And I was like, I believe you, Lord. If I think it's you, I'm going to go for it. There's so many times in my life where I thought it's God and I've gone for it, praise God, and it's worked out okay. I'll finish with this. You know, in 2006, I had a word from God, or I guess 2007, God said, move to America. They said, you can't move to America, this, that, and that, need these visas and everything else. That we finally went to an interview. They said, no, you've got no reason, you haven't got a job over here, blah, blah, blah. They weren't issuing student visas then. I said, God told me we're moving to America. Now, I wasn't 100% sure. I'm only like 90% sure, right? Some people stand up here, they go, you know, or any public speaker, they say, you know, God told me this and God told me that. And sometimes we think they have a special hotline to God. And like, you know, they just, you know, they hear God. I'm telling you, it takes faith to hear God. It takes faith to the voice of God. So sometimes we're more sure than others, but most of the time, there's still a little bit of element of doubt there because it's by faith, right? So I think God's telling me to do this. I'm 90% sure. So anyway, they said, you can't go. And I stood up and said, you know what? God's told me we're going. I had this attitude of faith. I said, I don't care what everyone else says. We're going, praise God. God's going to make a way where there seems to be no way. And I got that point where it's like, you know what? I'm all in. This is what I'm doing. We're going to America. And when I had that attitude, as soon as I had that attitude that I'm going to go for what God told me to do, the opportunity happened and we was able to move here. We get here, we didn't have a plan. I wouldn't recommend this. We turn up. They said, where are you going to live? It's a good question. We had three little kids and we had like 18 suitcases. That's how we emigrated. They said, you could ship your furniture over to America. So I looked at the price. I said, my furniture isn't worth that. I mean, literally, I was like, I said, kids, we've taken suitcases. We had like 18 suitcases and about 16 of them were full of kids' toys. Okay? So we turn up in America in 2008 and we've got no plan. Now, we had a friend that came over to England on a mission trip. She said, you can stay in my basement. I said, no problem. So we turned up in a basement and then a week went by, I think. I went looking at houses. I said, can I rent your house? They said, you need all these wage stubs, you know, or the proof of earnings and this and that. I said, I own my house in England. I've got a business. I said, we need all that. So they did a credit check. I don't exist in America yet. They said, you can't rent a house. You're not going to be able to rent a house in this city. And I went to agency after agency and everyone else said, you can't rent a house. They said, you've got no credits check. You've got no proof of income. You've got nothing. I said, I've got a little bit of cash. That doesn't matter. You're not going to be able to rent a house in this town. I was like, Lord, you called me here. You're going to provide for us. I'm going to get myself a house. I'm going to get my family a house. And I've got that type of tenacious about it. You have to get tenacious about it. You say, you know, God's told me he's going to provide. He's going to provide. So we went and found, I think Carly found it in the newspaper. That shows it was only 11 years ago, I guess, but it's still in newspapers. She found it in the newspaper. She said, this house here is to rent by owner. Let's go and see that guy. So we went there, and I shook his hand, looked him in the eye. I said, sir. He said, do you like my house? I almost said, that doesn't matter. I was like, I'll take anything at this point. I was like, it doesn't matter. Anyway. Next time I tell that story. So anyway, so I said, sir, I said, I shook him by the hand. I said, sir, listen, I said, I'm a landlord myself. I said, I've got my house in England I'm renting out. I said, I can promise you too. He said, you got credit check? I said, I won't pass a credit check. I've got no credit. I said, I've got no bank account yet. I've got no proof of earnings. I've got nothing. He's like, He's like looking at me like, I said, but I can tell you this, sir. I shook his hand. I said, I'll look after your house. I said, and I'll pay the rent on time every month. I said, you got my word. And he just went, you got a deal. He said, how much money? I said, how much money you got in your now? I said, I've got like $1,000 cash. I said, I haven't opened a bank account yet. This and the other. He said, well, you're going to need some of that. He goes, so just give me 500 for now. And whenever you get your bank account open and everything else and transfer the money, we'll sort it out then, praise God. And that was a nice house, wasn't it? Up in, so anyway, we got this nice house. Walked in this house. It's empty. No furniture. No, nothing. And I'm looking around it. It's like 7 o'clock at night. I'm thinking, there's nothing. What's going on? There's nothing. What are we going to do? So I'm having a vision, like, where are we going to sleep? And then what really got me was when I wake up, how am I going to make coffee? That really got me. I was like, come on, Joseph. I'm like, what are you going to do? He's like, thank you, Andrew. How are you going to make coffee? So I said, let's go to the stores. This is true. This is exactly how it happened. So we get in the car. We go to the store. We get in the car that someone lent me. We go to the store. I get to the store, and we've never been to Walmart before. It's our first time ever. Now, England's small, compact, everything's small, right? We walk into Walmart. We're like, that's why you need cell phones. Where are you? I'm down by the cosmetics. Okay. No, I'm down by the cereal. Okay, I'll be right there. I think I see you. No. You can get tires for your car and bread and milk in the same shop, in the same store. Right there. You can't do that in England. So we got these carts and we put in air beds. I said, it'll be like camping, kids. We got air beds in there and we got sleeping bags. And then I'm like, okay, I'm thinking through my day, like the next day. Okay, I'm going to take a shower. So I need a towel to dry myself with. I need toiletries. I mean, this is literally how we did it. Coffee maker, thank you, Jesus. But then they're very important. We put everything in the drawer. We had two carts full of stuff like this. And we're going, it's about 9:30 at night. The kids are little. They're all tired and hungry. They're ready to go home. We're going to the cart. This is great. I pull out my English debit card. They told me, oh, yeah, that'll work in America. No problem. Pull out my English debit card. Some people know where this is going. English debit card, two carts full of stuff. I mean, this is like our provisions for this house, this empty house we're going to. And I put my card in. It says declined. Now, this is when you've got to test your faith, right? I look back there. I see my wife. Three kids tired. I mean, we've been going around all day, and now we've got this empty house going back to. We've literally nothing to even sleep on. And I said, ma'am, you want to try that one more time? And as she tried it, I'm praying, you know? We've all done those prayers. Maybe you haven't, but Lord, I really need you to make this work this time. Like, I know I've, but this time I really mean it. And I promise you, I won't do this. I won't do that. I promise you, Lord, if you make this work, I'm not going to do that. And you fill in the blanks. You know, okay? I won't do this. Please, Lord, just make it work. And I'm like, it's going to work this time. She's like, beep. It's declined. I said, okay. Okay. She said, you got any? I said, no. I said, I've got about $200 cash and we've got like $1,000 worth of stuff in these carts. I said, no. She said, okay. She said, well, we can put it on hold for you. So I looked at Carly and Carly said, you got a plan, right? I said, I've got a plan. Of course I've got a plan. I think I'm going to be over there. Okay, I've got a plan. So I was like, Lord. I look out and see an automatic teller, you know, an ATM. I was like, okay, put it in there. Beep, 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 beep. Declined. Now, I just stood at that ATM machine. I didn't want to turn around. I just stood at the ATM machine. Now, this is, believe it or not, in a funny little way, this is a little example of living by faith and actually being. Now, God told me to do this, right? So I didn't just go to Crete. God told me to move to America. I'm on a word from God. If you're on a word from God, if you're on an assignment from God, He's going to pay His bills. He's going to make it work, praise God. I'm telling you, you do your part by faith. Grace has already provided it. I'm telling you. So I was in a position where, but the emotions come rushing in. The thoughts come rushing in. Like, I've got a house back in England, and they've got beds. And a coffee maker. I know people in England. They could help me. I know no one here. And I'm at this ATM machine, and it's like, I'm just staring at that declined little notes and that, like that. And then I got tenacious. I was like, you know what? I was like, God, you called me here. And this is where people get, the violent, you know, when we make a demand on God, it's not disrespectful. In fact, it's more respectful. It's honoring when we demand God. Do you know why? Because it's saying, God, I believe you. I believe you love me. I believe you call me to do these things. I believe you're good. So I'm going to go after it. If you don't believe God's good, then you're a little bit sometimes timid. But if we really believe God's good, we'll go all after it. So I was like, God, I was like, God, I need you right now. You call me here. Your promises are true. You promise you're going to provide for me. I need your provision right now. And I walked back, and I didn't know how it was going to work out, but I walked back to that checkout line, like that. And as I walked back there, Kai said, how's it going? I said, it's great. Sometimes when we're in faith battles, we don't say anything. When we get quiet, you know, it's like, we've got in some trials sometimes, and I'm like, all I can say is, you pray, honey. So I said, you need to pray. It was one of those. So how's it going? I was like, just pray. So we're there. By this time, there's a commotion, right? A lot of people in Walmart, what's going on? There's these crazy English people that can't speak American. They've got two carts, they've got two carts full of stuff, they've got three crying little children, and you know, what's going on here? There's a commotion, we're waiting in line. And then this lady walks through the line, and she walks up to me, she said, "Are you Ashley Terades?" I said, "I'll be anybody you tell me I am if you've got money." Right now? I said, you could have said any name, and I would have said yes. She said, "Do you need help?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Do you need me to use my credit card for you?" I said, "Right there. Just slide it right there, right there." She didn't even ask how much it was. Slide, beep, approved. Thank you, Jesus. The guy cards went out like that. Turned out that lady had seen their testimony online and saw our testimony, recognized her. She was at the other end of Walmart, and the Holy Spirit, yeah, she's there. She's just praying in the Holy Ghost under her breath as she's waiting in line. And the Lord said, "Go down the other end of Walmart." So she's like, "Okay, Lord, I've only got 5 items, but if you want me to go down where the big lines are," so she walked down the big lines. See, she was in faith. She was listening to God's voice. Everywhere, this works everywhere, guys. This works in Walmart. This works wherever you are. So she was praying the Holy Ghost, just, you know, rather than on looking at, you know, I won't say it, but looking at stuff on her phone. She was actually spending her time focused on the Lord. She was keeping her mind stayed on the Lord. And as she's fellowshipping with God, just in line on her own, normal day, a pint of milk in her bag, in her basket, she started praying the Holy Ghost under her breath, and the Lord said, "Go down there." She wouldn't have heard that if she hadn't spent that minute to think on the Lord. She said, "Yes, Lord." "Doesn't make any sense. That's irrational." See, we talk ourselves out a lot of times. A lot of times God will talk to us and we'll say, "That doesn't make sense, Lord. That must just be me." But it was God. So she was like, "Yes, Lord." What's she got to lose? She had to wait in line longer? If you think it's God, if it smells like God, if you think it's God, you better go for it. Unless, now, if it's life-changing and everything else, get some wise counsel and all that. But otherwise, just go for it, people. If you think it's God. So she went for it. She walked down there, and guess what she had? She had my miracle in her pocket. Praise God. And right there, we have a testimony now about how we survived. And you know what happened after that? We got back to our home. We laid the airbeds out. We had a great night's sleep. The next day, furniture was provided for us. We got all this furniture. We furnished that house. Then we got out of that house, bought our own house, supernaturally paid that house off, praise God. And now we haven't got to worry about going to Walmart and getting our coffee machine, praise God. We've got a nice coffee machine. Amen. So it all worked out great. But I'm here to tell you guys, God has got assignments for us. God wants us to live this way, like we're ready to take it, praise God. We're ready to take it by force, amen. And I'm telling you, you give God honor when you take it by force. You give God honor when you say, "Yes, I want it, Lord. You provided it for me, so I want it. I want to take it." Imagine getting your kids Christmas presents and they don't even take them and unwrap them. How would that make you feel? When they unwrap them and they enjoy them, it's like, yeah, they loved what I gave them, praise God. We've still got it, but if we don't use it, praise God. And you know, I said I'd end with this, right? But I'll end with this one real quickly. So one day, Andrew Womack. Now, Andrew Womack, I respect him more than any man on earth right now, okay? Just so you know that. He was preaching, and I was just a student, a first-year student, so he didn't know me. And I'm there, and he said, he knew me by name, I guess, but he said, "I've got this brand new Jeep Wrangler." He said, "If someone was to, if just Ashley there, you just picked on me." He said, "If Ashley wanted to drive my new Wrangler, he wouldn't have to come up and be in doubt. If I told him he could drive it, he could just come and take the keys." I love that example. He said, if he told me he could drive it, he could just come and take the keys. He wouldn't have to wonder, will Andrew lend me his car? Will it be okay? He wouldn't have to crawl up there, "Oh, I'm not sure." He said, "No, in fact," he said, "if he believed what I said, he would come up here and take my keys." Because the point is, if you really believe what God says about us, you're going to take it, praise God. So I'm sat there, I'm like, I like cars. I really do. Some people say I'm carnal. Anyway, but I like cars. So I'm sat there, I'm thinking, I want to drive Andrew's Jeep. Andrew just told me I could drive his Jeep. There's 500 students here. I don't care. I want to drive Andrew's Jeep. I went up there. "Andrew, give me those keys." He went, "I knew you'd ask." He said, "There you go." He said, "Take them." I went off, and I got an Andrew's brand new Jeep Wrangler and drove it around town. Praise God. I was so happy. I was like, I'm driving Andrew's driving his cars. And you know what happened? I came back about an hour later, gave him the keys back, and he had a big old grin on his face. Andrew Warren had a big old grin on his face. He said, "I like that boldness." He said, "I like the fact that I said it and you believed it." Yeah. How much more does God like it when he says it and we believe it, praise God? He says it and we believe it. That's our part. He tells you what you can do and you say, "Yes, Lord, I'm doing it." Praise God. I'm going to do it. Amen. Praise God. So God's looking for people who are going to live tenaciously, who are going to say, "Yes, the violent take it by force." Praise God. And his eyes are going, "Who wants to believe me?" And it might be in a seemingly small thing. It might be believing me to be able to forgive this person. It might be believing me and able to with my children. You know, Moses' mother, she put Moses in a basket and headed him off the river. You don't think that's tenacious faith? You don't think that's violent faith? God told her to do it, so it worked out. We could go through every character in the Bible of things they did by faith violently. Yes. Praise God. And I'm telling you, these things, these exploits, they'll be different for every one of you, but these exploits God's called you to do, praise God. It might be in your finances. It might be to start giving, praise God, and being tenacious with that, being violent when you're giving. It might be with forgiving people. It might be with praying for people. Well, I've never prayed for them. What if they don't get healed? What if they do get healed? Pray for them and see what happens. They're not even a believer. Well, then you can't make any worse. If they're not already a believer, then do what God tells you to do, praise God. Go for it. Say, God, I'm ready for this. Let's do this, Lord. Let's do exploits. Let's tear up this world for you, Lord. Let's turn this world right side up. Let's show the world how much you love them. Let's show the world how passionate you are about them, praise God. You start doing that, I mean, your life will start getting interesting. And all these other little things, they just fall by the wayside. Because it's like, you know what, you're living for Jesus. You're going for it, praise God. You're living for Jesus. And all these other things don't really matter. So who wants the type of faith that just goes for it with God? Who wants to live out on the limb, praise God? If you want to live out on a limb, praise God, and go for it with God, stand up right now. I'm telling you, Father God, I thank you, Lord, that we want to be all in with you, Lord. Lord, we want the type of faith that's tenacious. We want the type of faith that goes for it, Lord. We want the type of faith that doesn't ask questions every 5 minutes, that doesn't get hurt easily. The type of faith that's just like, yes, Lord, I'm going to go for it, Lord. You told me I can do it, and I'm going to do it, Lord. You told me I can do it, Lord, and I'm going to do it. I thank you, Lord. You've given us exploits to do. I thank you, Lord, we have people's miracles in our pockets. I thank you, Lord, we have people's answers on the inside of us. And I thank you, Lord, as we start living for you, as we start going for it with you, I thank you, Lord, you lived for us, you died for us, Lord, we want to live for you. We don't want to leave one bit of potential on earth, Lord. We want to give it all away. We want to give it all away, Lord. We want to go all out, Lord, for you. Lord, we want to live by faith and not by sight, Lord. It's the only way to live. Lord, we want to live by the word of God. When we see something's in the word, we're going to do it. When we hear your voice by the Spirit, we're going to do it, Lord. We're not going to ask questions, we're going to do it. And I thank you, Lord, you're looking for people who are tenacious. You're looking for people who are ready to go for it. You're looking for people to join the army, to start sowing, Lord. You're looking for people that are going to deny themselves. They can do more and help more people and serve more people. I thank you, Jesus, you've called us to this. And I thank you, Lord, I thank you, Lord, it's the most fulfilling thing. I thank you, Lord, that when we lose our life, we truly gain our life, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, we want to lose our life for you, Lord. We want to put it down for you. We put our own ambitions, our own feelings aside, Lord. We say, God, we love you. We thank you that you've made us victorious. And we thank you, Lord, that you, praise God, have got such exploits for us. And we want to be part of that, Lord. We don't want to miss out on what you've got for us, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. You've got so many things. Right now, there's people in here, and you know who you are. This has really stirred you because there's something that's really disappointed you, and God's saying, I'm still the same. God's saying that vision for you is still the same. And you're questioning, you're saying, yeah, but it's too late now because of this, and it's too late now because of that. God's saying, if I can take Abraham and Sarah, I can use you. I can do an exploit through you. God's saying, you know, if I can do it in a deserted place when the hour's late, I could do it in your situation. And I'm telling you, God is here to tell you, he can do it, praise God. Let him do it through you. It's not too late. You haven't disqualified yourself. You are perfectly qualified. In fact, right now, if you're thinking that thought, you are the most qualified person because you're saying, God, I can't do it. And God's like, bingo. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for people that are saying, I've messed up. I'm not altogether. God's saying, great. I can show myself strong in your weakness. I can show myself strong in those areas that you feel weak. But Lord, what about this and what about that? God says, it's okay. It's okay. You're a brand new person. It's okay. When you bring those things up, I almost hear the Lord's voice. I almost hear God saying, shh. Don't bring it up. It's done. It's dealt with. It's gone. Let's talk about your future. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about you and me going on a wild adventure together. See, God wants to take you by the hand and lead you. He's going to lead you into the most intimate relationship. It's going to be the most fun, fulfilling. It's going to be the best, praise God. But he wants to take you by the hand and lead you. And if you get ahead of him, you're going to get in trouble. Maybe we have. We've all done it. And if you lag behind him, just take his hand and walk hand in hand with him, praise God. Jesus wants to take you today on an adventure for him. And he's looking for people who will take it by force, praise God. He's looking for people who say, let's go for this, Lord. And the Lord's like, yes, let's do this thing, praise God. And there's things, there's testimonies going to come out. There's people going to be healed because of this. You're going to lay hands on people and they're going to be supernaturally healed. There's going to be forgiveness and release. And you're going to feel like that 10-ton weight that's been on you, some of you, your whole life, is going to be released today. And you're going to be like a new person. There's people here whose finances, you're going to be at the point where you're going to be able to give and be able to do things that you've dreamt about doing because you're going to start trusting God. You're going to start going for it with God and saying, yes, Lord, I want it. I want it, Lord. You're going to start being violent. You're going to start pressing in. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. You have such good plans for us. You have such adventures for us to go on. And Lord, we say yes. We say yes, Lord. We say yes. We say yes to your adventures, whatever they may look like. Whether they look like leading a movement or whether they look like leading two kids at home. Whether it looks like going and conquering, turning the world right side up, or whether it looks like turning my little world right side up with two people. I'll do it, Lord. If it means serving my husband, I'll do it. If it means just serving my wife, if it means just going somewhere where no one sees me and doing that, if that's what you've called me to do, Lord, I'm going to do it with tenacity, Lord. I'm going to do it all in for you, Lord. Whatever you've called me to do, Lord, I'm willing to submit to it, Lord, because that's the most fulfilling thing. That's what I've been made for. So we submit to it. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And if that's you, God sees you, praise God. His eyes have been looking for you. He's been looking for you and he says, yes. He's pleased, praise God. He's like, yeah. Hold on, you're going to have some adventures. You're going to have some adventures with God, praise God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we talk about God being long-suffering. He's really long-suffering, waiting for us to believe for him. He said, just believe on me. And he's been waiting the whole time. As soon as we say, Lord, I'm all in, he's like, yes, let's go. He's been waiting the whole time. This thing is going to explode. Your breakthrough's now, because he's already been waiting for you. He's already gone ahead. He's there waiting for you. Come on, let's go. Let's go, come on. I've been waiting for you. Let's go. Bam, it's going to break right now in Jesus' name. It's going to break right now. Today's the day, praise God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Freedom. Amen. Freedom is worth fighting for, praise God. And you, God has given you everything you need to fight, praise God, to see your freedom, to see the freedom of people around you. God wants you in freedom. He wants you in liberty. He wants you to be able to walk out, praise God, in all the things he's got for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.